Let's see. Stream, you have your nipples on. Please turn those off.
Yeah. Yeah, get rid of those nipples.
There we go. Much better.
Brody's away.
Wow.
That's better.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the Top Dogs Podcast. In this episode, we drive into the world of filmography. We'll start by sharing our backgrounds and what sparked our interest in film. We'll cover our experiences in the industry, including notable projects, memorable moments, and favorite genres. We'll discuss the biggest challenge we faced and how we overcome them, as well as the most rewarding aspects of working in film. Collaboration, balancing creativity with practical constraint, and staying updated on trends are all key topics we'll explore. So join us for insights, inspiration, advice for aspiring cinematographers. I'm Stream Arcadet.
I'm Phoenix Wesky.
I'm Zyvis.
I am Luis Howles.
And I'm Dune. Hi.
Adorable as always.
All right, let's get started. Get the giggles out now. Get the giggles out now. Let's get started with the background in cinematography and what sparked your interest in cinema and cinematography as a whole. How did you get in this industry?
So cinematography and the film adventure in general is really new for me, kind of. When I was growing up, I really wanted to do like IT or like computers, cause like the Matrix was cool, you know, and you can just like bash your like phalanges onto a keyboard and things happen. So IT is pretty neat. but I started watching, a lot of YouTube after I graduated high school, and there were a few people that I gravitated towards that I thought were extremely inspiring and really just really great at their craft, you know, when YouTube was really up and coming. So most notably, I am a huge Jenna Marbles stan forever and ever and ever. I also love Markiplier. I was watching a lot of PewDiePie at that time. Jacksepticeye is kind of adjacent in that circle, you know. So yeah, I was watching kind of what they were doing, and I was seeing how they were inspiring people, and I was like, you know what? I think I could create some giggles online too. That'd be a really fun adventure for me. So I decided to try to start learning how to edit video. I started on an Apple computer that was gargantuan and sat on a desk that you worried about breaking eventually because of just the weight of this massive Apple computer. And then, so I was using like, it's iMovie, right? I think I haven't touched it in so long. I'm pretty sure it's iMovie. And then after that, I played with Windows Movie Maker. Those were some fun adventures. after Indeed. That, I used a really kind of, I feel like it's an underground video editing program from Australia called VideoPad, but like Adobe, they have a whole suite of things. So they have audio editing software, they have photo editing software, they do everything. The problem with that software is you can't just get free updates, you have to pay for them. So once I realized that after not updating it for like 6 years, I was like, oh, I'm really missing out. I need to upgrade. So then I finally switched to Premiere in 2019, which I've been using ever since. But yeah, so, and then since then I filmed like lots of different things, you know, it's been like a huge journey. So music videos, YouTube videos, convention kind of music style videos, you know? So yeah, I would say it began with early YouTube for me.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. What about you, Luis?
What about me? I want to say that my acting journey began, or at least my filmmaking journey, it began at a very early age, but I didn't start getting into the more technical aspects until 2014. Ironically, that's the same year that I became a Brony, so ex-Brony right here. And I began watching a lot of reviews. I began watching Liza Koshy, who was really big at the time. I began watching a lot of YouTubers, and I'm like, you know what? I want to do review videos. And so my parents were able to get me my first editing software, CyberLink PowerPoint, I believe it was. It was pretty much just a cheap editing software that it isn't anything special, but it got the job done. And I just remember being very, very active and making video after video after video from 2014 all the way to when I graduated, when everything just declined. And after a certain point, I changed my major. I went into acting. And during that process, we were doing a project. It was my final year of theater performance. And we were doing a mock-up news broadcasts as if my local small town of Ellensburg had a natural disaster going on. And so we had to create a news report that looked very legitimate. With me having a lot of editing experience, mine was presented at our student showing at the end of the year, and it was arguably one of the higher qualities, which I'm still very proud of. And it took me a long time to even figure out what editing software I needed to use, because I started off at Cyberlink, I worked up to HitFilm, and then I just subtly settled into DaVinci Resolve, since it's still a fantastic software. Even for a free software, it's still fantastic. And I didn't realize how much of editing I really loved until I went into Vancouver Film School, which I went in there to pursue my career of acting behind the camera or in front of the camera. And it gave me a appreciation of what really goes on behind the scenes in terms of the technical aspects and the work that people needed to do in order to create a short and a long film. It's ridiculous, but that's practically my story up until now, and I'm currently working on some personal scripts before I actually work on the production side. So I have things in the works. It's just, it's kind of a working process.
I started making videos actually when I met my best friend and when I was in the cadets, and he always loved to pull out a camera and recording stuff around, and I got really hooked onto like making clips and videos very quickly. And I remember making my first YouTube video. I was about 15 years old. My puberty didn't start, so I was basically a squeaker on YouTube when it started, like 17 years ago. And I've been making TikTok. Like, I would love to show that video, but my account got hacked and they deleted everything, and I don't have the files anymore, so I'm really saddened by this. But I've been making videos ever since. I used to make a lot of content on YouTube. Then I kind of lost the inspiration because the videos were long. And then I discovered the short form format of TikTok, and that really re-energized my hobby of creating like short content and stuff like that. And I've always been fascinated by cameras, DSLR lenses, stuff like that, techniques. And recently my sister, she is a producer. She makes TV shows. One of them is called Extreme Shift or Virage Extreme, which has been aired on her local biggest sport channel. And she wants to hire me to do camera stuff. And I was actually on a paranormal investigation, and I was the official cameraman. I had a Sony FX3, and I love that thing. It works great. And for me, background wise, I use, you know, Windows Movie Maker, and then I switch right off the bat to DaVinci Resolve multiple years later. I did use Sony Vegas Pro for a little while when I started being more serious on YouTube, and then I switched to DaVinci. But yeah.
Wow, short form editor to camera operator. That's a nice one. That's, yep, a nice climb up the ladder.
Start easy and then work your way up.
What about you, Zyves?
I knew from a pretty early age, after watching the movie Rio, for some reason that, of all films, it inspired me to want to tell stories. But I grew up in a pretty like creative household. My parents were divorced, so every other weekend I would go with my dad, and we would always go to Blockbuster. We'd pick one movie and one little baggie of gummies. So every other weekend we would just pick random movies, and that was great. And on my mom's side, she always had an old video cassette tape, and she pretty much recorded my childhood. It's cute looking back on that. My sister is huge into photography, but I wanted to make movies ever since I was 11. That was 13 years ago. And so that's why I think I was the favorite child, was because I knew what I wanted to do, whereas my siblings are now 30 and they still don't know what they want to do. So that's why I think I'm the favorite. But all throughout school, I had this little dinky camcorder, and almost every project and assignment in like English class and whatnot, I always asked if I could make it somehow film related, or like instead of a written assignment, could I record myself talking about it? And for the most part, they were pretty supportive about it. So I did that for quite a bit. I had a group of friends, and we created our little Smosh ripoff YouTube channel. We were really young and stupid and created some really cringe-worthy videos, but yeah, edited on Sony Vegas, iMovie, bunch of stuff. But I knew from watching Rio that I wanted to do film as a career, not just a hobby. And so right out of high school, I couldn't afford it. So I spent a year saving up as much money as I could, and I applied to Toronto Film School, the complete opposite side of Canada. I was accepted. I did that film production course. It was 18 months. Halfway through, COVID hit, but luckily I got all the hands-on stuff out of the way. That was nice. But yeah, that was 2.5 years ago that I graduated. I moved out Midwest to try and work on film stuff, but I'm back out east now. I just moved back home a couple months ago, and kind of re-kickstarting my life, I guess.
Very nice, very nice. I can relate to each and every one of you being from like a young age, starting off on, you know, some of my favorite movies like Star Wars, and coming and growing up with the evolution of YouTube. So that's also what sparks one of my loves for filmmaking. With an overview of y'all's experience, do y'all have any sort of notable projects or roles that you've had over the course of your film careers that you would like to talk about? Let's start with you, Zybus.
Being in film school is really nice. I took a year off after high school to make money, but I actually had a friend within high school that my passion for film kind of rubbed off on him. And so when we both graduated, he just straight on went to film school. So by the time, the same film school, by the time I started, he was already 3 terms ahead of me. So right off the bat, I met all of his friends who were deeper into the program as me. And we got really close playing D&D and stuff. And they would think I was cool, and they would invite me onto their film sets. And I did a bunch of projects doing audio, sound mixing, boom operating. Then I started doing camera stuff, produced a fifth turn thesis film. I think my most notable though was I was pretty close with one of the professors, and she was a producer in real life, and she got me on a music video gig that was a pretty high budget. I think it was the highest budget I've ever worked on. But I can't remember the song name, but the artist was DeLorean Black, and I think it was called Static Rising Ego, something like that. But it was a single day, 22 hours straight. I was just a PA. I was just driving actresses around all over Toronto. That was stressful. But it was my first real experience on a film set. But other than that, I did direct my own short film outside of film school that I'm very proud of. It's just about done being edited, but being in a position that I've looked up to and wanted to be for 12, 13 years, it's definitely probably one of the best moments of my life, finally being in that position, calling cut in action. It was quite surreal.
Well, yeah. That's amazing. You know, in the film industry, it's always connections, connections, connections. That's how you get jobs, and that's how you get experience. What about you, Stream?
My closest experience is, like I mentioned earlier, was being a cameraman for my sister's TV show. She wanted to do a paranormal investigation with a team, and I was basically hired to wheel the FX3 and get some shots in. I would build the rigs as well, the lens, the ND filters, the tripods, putting the microphones. At one point, we even set up like a camera to have for solos. So basically, you had the FX3 looking forward with a 30 to 75 millimeter lens with a light going towards them. But they wanted to get like first person view, like face shots. So I've set up a GoPro with a little light, and I had like a shotgun microphone set up. So being able to like work with the equipment, wheel them, get those nice shots in, it's really fun. It's super satisfying. And I'm actually looking forward to do more. I know my sister, she has a bunch of ideas and jobs for me, but since I already work like 40 hours a week, it makes it a little bit difficult. But eventually, if my business does take off and I can actually quit my day job, I could actually take on cameraman contracts. So that would be great. I also have experience doing voice acting. I don't know if dubbing interviews is considered voice acting, because I do have have to reproduce the emotion and the intensity that, you know, the person being interviewed is showing. So I guess there is a little bit. So I've actually dubbed a few of her TV shows that are in French. I've dubbed them in English. And at one point she interviewed somebody that was in English and I had to do it in French. So I do dubbing in both French and English. And so far I'm really enjoying it. I'd like to push it more. And definitely I'm looking forward to more contracts in the future. What about you, Dune?
This is really exciting. So I mentioned before that I love making music videos. I really love a Swedish EDM artist. His name is Nanobi, and he makes a lot of different kinds of EDM, but there's an 80s style kind of lovey style song that he made. No lyrics or anything. It's just instrumental. I made a music video to that song. And I filmed it about 3 years ago. And so we went out in the woods. It was multiple days. I had like a whole script and everything. And it was like just the most ambitious thing I had ever tried to do up to that point, you know. And people were really receptive to it. It seemed like it was really enjoyable online. This year, I went to Anthro Northwest, which is in Seattle. It's the first weekend in January. And I showed this film at a film festival and it won an award. So it was really, really neat. I was super excited. Wow. Also, I think before the festival, it had something like 8,000 views. And that was like over like a 3-year period, you know. And now I believe it's up to 25,000 views. So this thing is just like starting to kind of blow up again later in time. Yeah, one for the memory books, you know. It was just a really, really fun project and experience overall.
That's awesome.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
And what about you, Luis?
Just like Zyfez here, I also went to film school and I've had a few experiences of my own. I think literally the most noticeable experience was when a professor of mine was asking some of my classmates if they wanted to be a part of a musical video for a friend that they were doing in town. And it would be recorded in the same building at this time. And what made it notable for me was because by the time the day happened, I ended up getting sick. And so I had two options, either stay in my apartment and not do it, or suck it up and do it anyway. I decided to suck it up and do it anyway. And it was the most grueling 6 to 7 hours of my life, but I had a lot of fun just being able to be in this music video. And I can't even remember what it was about, but it was very cheaply made, but I just remember having a lot of fun with it.
That's all that's really needed, really. You know, just having fun with something that you love to do. We've talked about, you know, your experiences in the film industry on film sets and the different equipment that you've worked with. But what are some of your favorite film genres? And what specifically drew you to that genre? What interests you about it?
Well, so far I don't have much experience, but doing like reports and documentaries are quite fun. It allows you to touch a bit of on everything. You get those drone shots, you get cinematic shots, B-roll, interviews, and then live action. So you get a little bit of everything. So I gotta say documentaries are kind of fun to do. I think my best memorable experience is actually during the paranormal investigation. So we were doing the solos. So I was the guy that stayed inside the haunted hospital. And my job was to make sure that the GoPro had batteries and the FX3 had batteries. And I had to put the other ones on charge. And I also monitored the security cameras just in case something would happen. I have radio contact and everything. And at one point, I noticed something moving on the cameras. It was a bat. And as I dragged my chair, I was really careful. I dragged my chair, but it actually caught on the carpet and went like, brrr. The guy heard it, freaked out, started yelling, booked it across the room. And he went downstairs one floor too low. He went back up, slipped, dropped. The guy belly flopped on the floor holding a $10,000 camera setup, but didn't break anything. It just screamed and stormed out. I felt so bad for it, but it was so funny. I have the footage. I'll drop it in somewhere I'll drop it in the Google Drive. But basically I saw a bat in the basement and I was just being like, just scooching my chair a little bit. He said he heard it from another floor above, even though he was on the same level. So maybe it was just good timing with another event, but like, I don't know, I will leave the benefit of the doubt for now. Oh, man. Good times.
Dedication to not drop that camera.
Dedication. Oh yeah, the guy was totally panicking, running for his life, tripped, fell, but you were like, not my face, yes, not the camera. It's like literally what happened. It's so funny. Oh, sorry about that.
What about you, Louise?
I would have to say my favorites, ironically, these are going to be the two that people absolutely hate. It's musicals and horror films. And what really draws me to the musical is that it's able to put you in a suspense of disbelief, especially when it's either portrayed on stage, portrayed in animation, and portrayed on camera. And it's just a good time. I don't think it's meant to tell a good story, but it's also meant to not be taken seriously, because it's absolutely ridiculous to think that part of daily life is just singing your heart about what you want in the middle of New York City, and everyone else is just magically knows the choreography and they're able to just dance along and move on to their daily life. But it's a fun time. It's able to tell a compelling story while also knowing not to take it as seriously as many would say. And for horror films, I would say that those really, to me, they bring out a lot of these foreshadowing or like stories of warning. I don't know how else to say it, especially if they're done right, because so far with a horror film, you can either screw it up or you can mess it up or you can make it great.
Okay, boom. Oh my god, how am I gonna... Okay, give me a second, I'll go do it. Do you know how to change your status where you see a green circle? I'll go help him out.
Super, at least bring effective. The bologna out.
he used pretzel. It's super effective. I guess we'll just pick up with you, Zevis.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyways, stream. I had a very similar... This is a little bit off topic, but I'll get right back on track. For the short film that I directed, my cinematographer, sorry, he's got this type of stabilizer rig. I don't remember what it was, but it was it's an over-the-shoulder shot of our main actress running full sprint down this steep decline of a road. And my cinematographer insisted that he would be fine to record with this 20-pound camera on his shoulder, right behind my actress. And almost immediately, he tripped, and I'm not gonna swear, but he ate a lot of dirt in that moment. But he held that camera up and kept the actress in frame as he fell to the ground. He had to go to the hospital, get stitches and everything. I have the footage, and I'm using that shot because it just looks so good. Unfortunate how it happened, but anyways, just wanted to add that because I think that's funny. Exactly. Yeah, that's how you know someone cares about their job, that they would die for it. No, he didn't die. I really like science fiction. I love stuff that's like grounded in reality, but futuristic-y. My favorite movie is, aside from Rio, is The Martian. I love space and stuff like that. I love Interstellar. I also love psychological thrillers, but not like overly complicated like Memento or Tenet, but like more so Black Mirror-ish type of stuff. Yeah, that's what I like.
Ooh, very sci-fi, very abstract stuff. I like that. Last but not least, Dune.
Yes, I also love psychological thriller a lot. I've never tried producing anything in that genre, so I don't know how I would do with it, you know, but as it within the audience space, I love to watch things that make you think, you know. Sci-fi is great, horror is great in general. For things that I like to make, though, it's pretty much music videos, and then much more recently, like, just comedy, especially improv. It's becoming an unhealthy obsession, just talking off the top of your head about anything and everything. Yeah, it's super fun to do, though. So scripted stuff is really fun. It's a writing exercise, so it's great to kind of, you know, work your brain in that way. But also being able to do it live in the moment, that is so much fun. It's so much fun to work on.
semi-scripted stuff is honestly one of my favorite stuff to do, just because of the fact that you do get a lot of the raw emotion from the actor or the actress that you're working with, and you just get so, you get so much stuff that you wouldn't get from a traditional script. That's our 30. Sorry.
Improv, baby.
Improv, let's go. All right. Stay updated with the Top Dogs podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ring that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that follow button to be notified for every new episode. Share the love by leaving us a quick rating. Connect with our community by joining our Discord server and Telegram community chat. You'll find all the necessary links in our link tree down below. We appreciate your support.
Hey, Top Dogs fan. If you're looking to snag awesome perks while supporting us, explore our service subscription on Discord or Patreon. By becoming a podcast supporter, you'll access exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, and express yourself with a custom hand-drawn emoji featuring the Top Dogs team and chat with the podcast team and fellow fans. Plus, we got the new After Dog show for mature audiences only at just $2.99 a month. Craving more? Upgrade to the Podcast Supporter Plus for $5.99 a month and enjoy episode voting, suggest podcast episodes, and become part of our live audience. Plus unlock exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligation to join the subscription, but your support genuinely makes a huge difference for all of our team. And to those who've already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. And one thing I want to bring up, we've recently added a feature for you guys that don't necessarily have a powerful computer to be able to join us in backstage. We have now started live streaming on our Discord the episodes. So if you see us on there, feel free to join and enjoy the fun of recording and be part of the team.
So we do have a question of the week this week that we asked all of our supporters at home. For the film buffs out there, what is your favorite aspect of filmography and cinematography, whether that's the art of cinematography, the magic of storytelling, or the thrill of editing? And we want to hear what you think. So starting off, we got Riley Goodboy that says stunning visuals and a great story to sink into. Weirtack says, for me, it's choreography and a good story with a deep and easy to learn lore is good, and good writing. One of our own filmographers, Mumu, honestly, writing is a big, big thing for me. A film or a show can have good cinematography, choreography, lighting, effects, and more, but if the pen to paper aspects isn't interesting or compelling enough, or it's just downright confusing, it truly can make or break the end product of a film. We got one from Shameless Man. Outside of a quality storyline, lighting is critical to more than just the film, and it can help fill the gaps left by writing and oversight. And from our very own Justin the Fire Wolf Dog. Man, it has to be all of that good action that they put into making it epic in any way. For those of you who have worked in the film industry, what were some challenges that you have faced going into the film industry and actually working on film sets? Let's start with you, Dune.
Don't have a ton of film industry experience. I did, however, recently work on my first film marathon with my local film community. So for those of you who are familiar with like the game jam style format of producing a video game in a very short period of time, it might be a day, a couple days, a week, something like that. Film marathon, exact same idea. You have a limited period of time to produce a short film. So we ended up making a comedy. I was a boom operator, so that was my first time doing anything like that. The challenge was like, you have 500 miles of metal pole that you're holding to get this microphone in the exact right spot. Too close, you can hear all the mouth sounds you don't want to hear. And if it's too far away, you're not going to hear anything. So there's kind of a finesse to being a boom operator. But I also helped with editing some of the film later once we were in post. So it's interesting how sensitive certain microphones really are, especially when you're kind of working with them in that way. I would say that was a pretty interesting challenge. I haven't done a lot else on a set. I mean, you know, like in a proper film setting, I guess. In my own projects, I think the hardest part is just kind of envisioning for a script. So if you're going to write a script, trying to picture the movie in your mind and get it down on paper in a way that makes sense, that can be a really tough challenge too.
Oh, definitely. Whenever you have like writer's block, that's such a big hurdle to get over whenever you're script writing.
Honestly, in my experience, the biggest problem I think I've ever experienced on a film set is just how many problems there are and how there's almost never the same two problem. And it's an art of its own, how people solve these things. And that's half of what making a film is you're trying to tell a story, but you're also running into problems left and right. And how do you solve them? And that's what separates a good, crew from bad crew is if they run into an issue and they get through it, that's amazing. There's always going to be hurdles and things stopping you, and it's just a matter of how do you deal with it in a timely manner. Trying to think of what else, but that's the biggest challenge that I've ever faced working on film sets is just how many challenges there are.
Being able to adapt on a film set is very crucial whenever you're doing up your upbringing. Even if you've been in the industry for 10 to 20 years, I've had some of my own mentors at my film school have told me it never goes away. That anxiety that you feel whenever you go on set that you're going to mess something up, it never goes away. So you just have to push through it and make something amazing out of it. So, Stream, you've worked on something recently for your sister. Have you faced any problems on her set, specifically with, the paranormal, the paranormal film sets?
So there's two things that we have to be really careful for. Now, you know, the fear of running out of battery is legitimate, but when you're doing paranormal investigation, for some unknown reason, the battery, they drain a lot faster. So we had a lot more batteries on set to cycle them quickly. And the other thing that was really important, good communication from the producer. A lot of the time, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Should I do this? Like, what did I do? But my sister, she had something in mind, but she has ADHD brain just like me. So I kind of understand her. It's hard sometimes to explain everything. She'd rather just do it. But sometimes it's really good that the producer, director takes like 5 or 10 minutes to coach. Okay, here's what we're going to do for the next hour. We're going to do this, this, and that. In the meantime, you could do this. So communication in the team is really good. Also, having a way to communicate, walkie-talkies are definitely a good thing. We use those and they really helped. So yeah, that's pretty much my experience. Other than that, it went pretty well. We didn't run out of battery. Communication was good. It's just like sometimes my sister was a little bit chaotic, but it was an amazing experience. I loved it and I want to do it again.
I'm so happy for you. That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. What about you, Luis? Have you faced any problems on film sets that you'd like to talk about?
The waiting. It's always, always the waiting.
So true.
Yes.
So true.
And I don't know if this is just a common thing in the film industry, because I have done productions on campus, and I'm pretty sure it's similar in professional productions, but it's always the waiting. When you get on the set, you get on there on a specific day, maybe you get a lunch break, and then you clock out of a certain hour if there's a set time frame where you need to be out of there. 75% of that time will just be the actors like waiting around, waiting for them to get on set or do what they need to do just for maybe a 5 to 10 minute scene. And then the crew have to either readjust the light, they have to fix the camera angle, or they have to set up new equipment, or something wasn't going right. It's just the waiting for me. And if we were to flip it on his head as the actor who's also worked behind the scenes, it's not only the waiting, but it's figuring out, okay, we've done all this. What do you want me to do? How am I going to help you create what you want to create? And credit where credit is due, they're fantastic. But ultimately, when I get on set, I memorize the script and I'm talking with the director, it just feels like I'm talking to a child trying to explain the universe sometimes. And it's not with all disrespect. They are new directors and producers, but they're It's a frustrating when I'm the actor and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but when I'm talking with the director or the producer, it feels like they don't even know what to do with me, or they don't know what they want.
I kind of want to add to what you're saying. So there's a lot of times where you have to wait, and you can't just go on your phone while there's downtime, because you never know when he's going to shout an order or your name or, okay, light operator, this and that, and then he's going to give a quick order. So you kind of have to pay attention all the time, even though you're spending 75% of your time waiting. So you have to be like quick to answer as well. That was something that I found kind of difficult. I just want to add to that.
That is a really good point. On a professional film set, this is a little tips and tricks. That is a very quick way to get fired, is to be on your phone on a film set. The moment that someone spots you with it on, if you're out of there immediately. So going into some more of the skills that we've talked about, do you think that there are any viable skills that would promote success within this field?
Honestly, for me, I guess kind of what Stream was going on about was it's not good enough to be on time. Being early is being on time in this industry. So long as you're passionate and like actually care about what you're doing and not just to like make a paycheck, I think that is probably the most important thing you could have in this industry. Is we're not here to make money. Sure, that's like a good benefit of it, but we're here to tell stories, and we're here to entertain people. And train of thought just left the station. Oh my gosh. Oh my,
happens to the best of us.
Oh my gosh,
it's totally fine.
I'm literally puppy braining right now. What the heck. Yeah.
Integrity is definitely a really valuable virtue in this industry, that you gotta show that you love this industry and you are passionate about this.
Yeah, I think one of the more viable skills that anybody working behind the scenes, whether it be directing, video editing, producing, that I think would definitely be useful, is to maybe just take a class or like audition for something, like get an understanding of what it's like to be an actor, because practically we're puppeteers, and one could argue that there's not a lot of stability in acting, but no one in the entertainment industry really goes into it to play it safe, because at the end of the day, yes, we all need money, who doesn't? But I think if producers, editors, and even writers get a good understanding of what it's like to be on the stage, in front of the camera, like really be in that field, even if it's maybe like for a class, I'm not asking them to change their careers, but to get an understanding of the actor, you get a better understanding of how to communicate with them, how to write something that's more humane and more in-depth.
Oh yeah, taking that initiative to learn more about your craft is definitely something that anyone in this industry should do.
My forte is really video editing. That's where I have the most experience with the kind of start to finish pipeline, so to speak, with production. So my advice is really more, or sorry, not advice, but the skill that I think is most valuable under the umbrella of video editing is I've really learned to approach that process like writing anything. So an essay, fiction, nonfiction, whatever. Take breaks, pace yourself, self-care. That means actually sleeping. I'm looking at you. That means actually sleeping, okay? You gotta sleep. Do the self-care thing. But it can be so taxing to take, you know, 5 to 75 minutes of raw footage and then just see in your mind like, oh yeah, this is going to be my end result. You know, this is what I'm aiming for as I'm taking this clay and molding it into some piece of pottery or whatever, you know, it's tough. So you have to pace yourself. You have to, take breaks. You also have to practice. Practice is great. If you are passionate about this, because it does get dry sometimes, it's not fun 100% of the time. Practice, make the things you actually want to make, learn new things. I love YouTube tutorials. That's another great thing to do. I think everybody Googles something in this industry once or twice, you know? So use your resources. But yeah, don't burn yourself out. Video editing is really fun. Enjoy it, you know?
I totally agree. Burnout is real. Self-care is important in this industry, no matter what position you hold, what department you're in. That is something that is high regarded. Safety and mental health is the number one priority. But yes, video editing is also fun. And Google will be your best friend.
Can you just refresh me which question we're at? Because I got lost for some reason.
That's totally fine. Dog brain happens to everyone. What skills do you think are viable to this industry and to help bring success?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember now. Okay. I think being creative is really important, and also having being able to figure out solution really quickly. Sometimes things happen on set, a light breaks, lens doesn't work, something worked. So it's good to have like backups and stuff, plan ahead, be creative, try to be good at problem solving. Being patient also is another thing. It's not always easy. Sometimes you have a lot of stuff going on, and it's really easy to be overwhelmed with things to do. So my advice would be probably to go one step at a time. There's so many things I could tell you guys, but like these are pretty much the biggest point. From my point of view as being a cameraman, it was plan ahead, find a solution quickly, and take breaks whenever required, because the thing is really heavy.
That is true. Cameras are really heavy in this industry. So with that being said, excuse me. How important do y'all think collaboration is within the film industry?
I think the biggest question is, how is it not important in this industry? Whether we like it or not, we're all striving towards the same goal. Actors want to be on camera. People want to become filmographers. People want to become video editors. People want to become writers. Why do they want to do that? It's because they want to create. And without the contributions of one over the other, you can't have animation if you don't have good storytellers. You can't have a great film if you can't have great writers. You can't have a phenomenal, engaging film without engaging and phenomenal actors. We all collaborate to do the same thing. We just have different obstacles and objectives to do what we want to do in order to collaborate to reach the point where we know the film or a product can be.
I think collaboration are really important. If you're trying to make your project come to tuition, and if you're trying to make a living out of it, I think collaboration where you can get as many partners as possible can really help promote your work to get as many views as possible. And the more you do it, the more attention you're getting to yourself. And then at some point, people will want to participate to your project. So it's a bit like growing a business. You know, you need to do it for a few times before people get to know you, and that will help out. It's going to help you bring you visibility, but also going to help you fund bigger projects. You know, Michael Bay didn't start making those big Transformer movies like one day after the other. It's like it took him a while before he got there. So same principles apply. Try to do with the best you can with what you have, and eventually over time you'll get more equipment, more budget, more resources to do your stuff.
Definitely, of course, yeah. And start small and then grow with it over time.
Both amazing points. Even what you were saying earlier is it's who you know and who knows you. This industry is 100% collaboration and word of mouth. That's how I got on a lot of film sets in film school, is people were like, hey, we need someone on audio. Oh, this Zyvas guy was pretty good at it, I guess. Here, let's tag him onto this project. And it's just word of mouth and almost like a domino effect. If you meet the right person, you might be set for life. It's a game of luck, finding the right person to vouch for you as a good worker. But it's all communication, making sure everyone's on the same page. Because if you are all on the same page, then you can quickly scoot through production, but usually that never happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is true. In this industry, it's all about networking, who you know, because that's how you get hired, that's how you get the jobs, and that's how, you know, you grow this industry to begin with.
I think everyone has said pretty much the exact right things here. When you want to put out creative fires, so to speak, you got to stop, drop, collaborate. That's how it works. You know, you must collaborate. Everyone is working together. Funny. You know, we're all trying to create something.
The other benefits to me of collaboration are kind of like what you were alluding to, Zyvas, which is like networking. You never know who you might meet. You never know who might have what skill set. You might be working on a video and you're like, oh, yes, you are the chosen one. I need your skills, you know? But then also like, there's so much learning that can happen too, right? So you might meet certain people and you might be like, hey, I really wanted to learn this thing, and they know this thing, and now you've learned a thing. Collaboration is like the secret sauce to this entire industry and maybe every creative endeavor out there.
It allows you to offload some of the work as well, because you can't do everything. So if you have people that are really good in your team, they can do their own thing and do it even better than if you did everything yourself. So you end up with a good quality product that's something that you're really proud of.
Hands down.
Learned that the hard way.
Yep. I need to give a shout out to the Top Dogs podcast. For the Stream Toys party, I was starting to be overwhelmed and they actually helped me out and they made it. So it was one of the best party I've ever organized. So guys, you guys are awesome. I love you all. Thank you so much for your help for the Stream Toys party at FWA 2024. It was amazing. It was so good. Sorry, I just want to give that out. So yeah, don't be scared to, you know, find some people that can help you make your project come to life and make the best that you can.
I agree with what all of y'all have said. In this industry, there are so many people and so many departments working together in order to make magic. That's what it is. It's the magic of bringing a story to life, and you can't have that without every department doing their job. Without art department, it wouldn't look good. Without editing department, you just wouldn't have a movie. With all of these different, you know, people working together, you cannot have movie magic without it. And that's just the bottom line.
I know we had a dead spot at one point where we had to get up and do something. So quick answer then, guys.
Lightning round. So what are some of your favorite filmmakers in this industry?
Stanley Kubrick. I have an obsession. I truly have an obsession. So
it's so fine.
The Shining, 2001 A Space Odyssey. I think Clockwork Orange was his as well, if I recall correctly. And those films are pretty out there. But the way that he frames shots is just eye candy. It's one of my favorite things to look at. So hugely inspiring, you know.
Okay, lightning round. Christopher Nolan, Kubrick, David Cronenberg. Oh my god, I forgot his name. Steven Spielberg. I love everyone. Just about everyone. I don't like Michael Bay, but I like just about everyone.
Don't like Michael Bay, but Michael, yes.
All right, Luis. Honestly, I don't know if I know any filmmakers that I can immediately drop other than Steven Spielberg. I think he did phenomenal films. Not a fan of Michael Bublé. He ruined the Amityville Horror for me. And I would want to say any filmmaker who was around during the 1970s, 1980s, and 90s, because the cinematography in those eras were absolutely gorgeous, and it's pretty much part of the inspiration of my creative process, and I want to be the person, or at least want to try to bring back that sense of style, since it felt authentic, it felt personal.
I have a few that I really like, but like just coming up with names is kind of hard right now because I kind of struggle with that. But definitely Steven Spielberg is one of my favorites. But also Denis Villeneuve, which is known for making really, really good movie. I think he's a guy from Quebec, right? Is he a Quebecer? Yeah. So he's actually a guy locally. He's made international movies that are fantastic. I got to give a shout out to music producer Ann Zimmer in Interstellar. Oh my God, so good. I love that movie. If you don't have a 5.1 surround sound system or a 7.1 with a good subwoofer, you are missing out on an auditory experience. Oh my God, it is so good.
Oh yeah, got to love Interstellar. Oh, it's so beautifully made. But for mine is Guillermo del Toro. I love some of the things that he's made. It's so cinematic, but also there's just so much depth in what he's made so far, and I gotta love that. But that being said, I think that's all the time that we have for today. So thank you all so much for watching, and we will see you all in the next one.
Bye-bye, everyone. Have a good night. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Have a good...
Au revoir. Adios.
Bye. Au revoir.
I was going to say adios.
Bye.
Still say
it. He coined it first.
Adios.